Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here. And it's a blessing to have my mom here this morning. Really glad for that. And for all the visitors, it's great to have you with us. You can turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for your great love that you have loved us with, and coming here to give your life for us so that we can know you. And we just thank you, Lord, that your name is so great. And help us, Lord, to understand your greatness today. And I just pray that our hearts would be turned to you, and that our knees would be bowed to you, our hearts would be bowed to you, and that our tongues would be confessing you. And I just pray that this could be reality for each one here this morning. And just please guide us in this study, that we could understand more of your greatness. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to take the outline, 3 points, from verse 9 through 11, where it says that God, it's talking about Jesus, how he came and made himself very low. He humbled himself. He was obedient to God's plan and to the death of the cross, it said before this. And then in verse 9, it says, therefore, or because of this, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. So first of all, that it was God who highly exalted Jesus above all. The second point, it goes on there, because he is exalted above all, that every knee should bow to him. So the second point is that every knee should bow to him, or that our heart and our knees should be bowed to Jesus as King. Thank you. And the third point, he says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that our tongue, our lives would be confessing Jesus as King. You can turn to Matthew chapter 21, where Jesus was teaching. And he said, Matthew 21, verse 42, Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Jesus was teaching them, and there were scribes and Pharisees there who were very religious and were rejecting Jesus. And he said this was a prophecy from before, that Jesus referred to that the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And Jesus was that chief cornerstone who was being rejected. And it's the chief cornerstone, that which means when you pull the cornerstone out of the building will collapse. It's the stone it's depending on. It's a very important piece. There's no other way around it. It needs to be there. And he tells us a wonderful truth, and he says that if we today have the opportunity to fall on the stone, we can fall on the stone and be broken. We can recognize him as the chief cornerstone, as this very important part. And we have the opportunity today to fall on the stone and be broken. But if we don't, there is a day coming when the end of time, it says, for those who have not fallen on the stone and have not been broken, this stone will grind them to powder. So we see here, God had highly exalted Jesus. You can turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 29. This was John the Baptist. And it says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" So here we have the Spirit of God speaking to John, and he said, when you see the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remaining on him, you know clearly this is the Son of God. And he said, John is telling us to behold him. He says, behold him, to look on him, fix your gaze and observance on him. God clearly was exalting Jesus. Jesus being exalted, it was spoken of from in Isaiah in chapter 9, long before. Isaiah 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there was a prophecy, and it was fulfilled. How Jesus and his kingdom would have no end, and he would be the wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. We have Peter in Acts chapter 4. He referred to the same verse about the cornerstone. He said, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus was clearly God's exalted one. We can see in the end of time, Revelation chapter 19, it talks about Jesus going out on a white horse. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." God has highly exalted Jesus above all. The second point, that we bow our heart and knees to King Jesus. To accept the truth that Jesus is the name above all others, we must bow our stiff-necked self and die to self and surrender all that we are and have to Jesus as Lord. If I truly accept that truth, it brings me to that point of reckoning with this old self. And it needs to go, it needs to die in order to allow Jesus to be in that place in my heart. In Mark 1, verse 15, Jesus came in saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repent and turn. He was saying, turn from your ways to my ways. And believe. It goes with what we were already talking about, that thing of taking our way, what seems right to me. Do I surrender it? Or do I want to hold on to it? You can turn over to Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, verse 29. Jesus is answering a scribe here, and he said to him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And I believe here Jesus said these two things, to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And he said another place it says that they hang on these two, like the law and the prophets, like it's all surrounds us. And I believe in order to do this, yeah, our heart needs to be bowed to Jesus. If this takes care of it all, when we're loving our neighbor as ourselves and we're loving God with everything we have, with all that we are and have. Jesus explained it with a grain of wheat. He said in John 12, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." I love that picture. It's something I can easily understand. Like Jesus was saying, look at a grain of wheat. And you can store that grain of wheat. You can keep it safely somewhere. You can try to protect that grain of wheat. You can keep it all for itself. And what do you have? It's still a grain of wheat. You can go back there 15 years later and still just a grain of wheat. But he says, unless it falls into the ground and dies, it's going to remain alone. It's all you're going to have. But if it will fall into the ground and die, it can produce much grain. And that's where all our crops that we see growing, it's all that has happened again and again and again to produce great amounts of harvest. But if we don't put the seed in the ground, we're not going to get a harvest. And he was explaining that is exactly how I must do, how we must do. If my heart, if I am not willing to submit to Jesus, to fall into the ground and die of myself and produce his life, his for his glory, for his kingdom, then I will still remain alone. I will remain with no value. I appreciated this morning the looking at truth and how, yeah, how we could see how Saul lost truth, and we can see how other people followed truth, and the contrast is so great of the lives if we compare. And here in Isaiah chapter 8, it says, Isaiah 8 verse 13, we see Isaiah believing in God bowing his heart to God. And he said, "The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait on the Lord, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him." So here, how is it that Isaiah he's saying his hope is in God, he fears God, God's going to be as a sanctuary, sounds like a safe place, a place of truth, safety, but yet, to the houses of Israel, he said, it's going to be a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, trap, snare. They're going to stumble. But it was where their hearts were. This goes right back to that heart problem we were talking about. The heart of Israel had drifted away from God. God had sent prophets as messengers, bringing them warning upon warning, and telling them the truth of what will happen if they reject God. And they rejected God, and this is where they ended up. And yet, in this time, Isaiah is finding God as his sanctuary and his hope. And it was because his heart was bowed to God. His trust was completely in God. Then I'd like to look yet how our tongue, our life, is to confess Jesus as King. God wants every heart, every tongue, to confess him as Lord, to lift up his worthy name. His name is so great, and he is to be lifted up, and there's no other name. No other name that we can lift up like the name of Jesus. And I was thinking about this, that as we, in this world, we are constantly coming up against the forces of evil, against wickedness, against just the devil has all kinds of ways, and we're constantly up against the light and the darkness. We're meeting darkness. And I just want to encourage your hearts that we would boldly confess Jesus in our daily lives as we're walking him out. Because his name is above all, and he will, in the end, he is the only name that is named. He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 27. "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I do not come to bring peace but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So clearly, our confessing Jesus is not only in what we say, but it's also in what we do. Our words, yes, we can confess them with our mouth, and it says, you know, it says that about confessing that our tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord. So it is with our mouth that we confess him, but it's also by our life what we live and do daily. And that's what I just want to encourage you to not be ashamed of Jesus. And this isn't, yes, speaking to myself in our daily lives, that we hold up this worthy name, this name who he is coming back as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's hold him up today. When we come up against darkness, let's hold up the name of Jesus boldly. When we come up against evil and wrong, let us hold up the name of Jesus and confess him by our lives. Jesus tells us here that we are, he says that even the sparrows don't go, they're not missed by God's attention. And he says, you're more valuable than many sparrows. So God loves you very much. He cares about you. He loves you, this great God, the one who's King of Kings. He came down here to love us, to show us love, to go through the pain and suffering and hardship that we go through. He knows it. And he will not miss anything in your life. And he tells us clearly to confess him before men. Confess him. And not to deny him. He said if we deny him, he will also deny us before his Father in heaven. And then he says how it brings, he shows us how Christ brings division. Sometimes there's division brought when someone's holding up the name of Jesus. And again, we see the battle of darkness and light. And this is reality. This is real. This is in our... It's happened to many people where they've found Jesus a reality and they believe on him. And then their family is against them. Like, this is a reality today for many people. But he says not to love our life in those times, but to lose it for his sake, to hold up his name anyway, even if it costs you. As we already talked about this morning, cost. Even if it costs us, hold up his name. Confess him anyway. And he says, I love how he brings out here, he even talks about a cup of cold water. You know, we might think it's such a small thing, but he said, Jesus tells us here, a cup of cold water, you will not lose a reward. If you do that cup of cold water in love and serving others, he says it will not lose its reward. You will be rewarded for it. So I believe it's in, our daily lives that we need to hold up Jesus, that we need to confess him. And it might be giving that cup of cold water to the child who says they need a drink. I believe Jesus cares about that. There are many, many, many small things of serving others that is where we can confess Jesus. We can be lifting up his name, his love, his truth. I believe if our life is following this pattern here of what God gave us, how God's name, how God has lifted up Jesus above all, and that we bow our heart and our knees to King Jesus, and that we confess him with our tongue and with our life, then I believe that will continue, that praise to God, that lifting up of his name, that will continue into heaven, which it's already going on there. And we have pictures in Revelation. It tells us how there's so much praise and worship going on in heaven to the Lamb who was slain. His name will be lifted up, and it will continue in heaven. And if we are doing that in our lives today, I believe we will be among those who are admiring him when he comes back, when we see him coming in his greatness, we will be admiring him. And I'd like to read those verses yet in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. He says, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because their testimony among you was believed. Jesus is coming back, and his name will be the only name in that day. So let us lift up his name today and confess it today. And we will be among those who will be glorified with him, and we can admire him when he comes back. God bless each one of you.